Down start right here with college football talk all summer long on The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in, everybody. It's hour number two of the program here on a Tuesday with Fax and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5 and 97.5 of The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. We've been talking a little Clemson, Georgia Tech. I'm trying to ease the fan base's mind a little bit about, you know, level of concern headed into this weekend. And I do think that there are a lot of reasons to be concerned, as we've outlined the last 2 weeks on the program. But I want to take a trip down memory lane before we get to Noah on the phone lines and we get to some texts, okay? I want to go back to 2023 because I said yesterday that Clemson felt very 2023-ish right now with O-line struggles and inconsistent wide receiver play and puppy dog Cade. Okay, well, I want to walk you through a three-game stretch in 2023 that Clemson played. Wake Forest, 17-12 win against Wake Forest. They went on the road to Miami. We all remember Cade going rogue in double overtime. They lose 28-20 in double OT. They play at NC State. They lose it 24-17. So throughout the course of three entire games in the middle of 2023, Clemson went 17-20-17 back-to-back-to-back. Cade didn't play particularly well in any of the games. If you had to give him one game where he played better than the others, I would say the Miami game. He was pretty darn good as a passer in that one. And if Shipley didn't fumble on the goal line, you probably win, is what it is. Okay, the next week and the remainder of the season, Clemson went on a revenge tour. 31 points against a ranked Notre Dame team when you were sitting at 4-4 and you could have rolled over and died. Clemson could have been 6-6 this year. 42 on Georgia Tech. 31 on UNC, who was ranked, beating Drake May. 16 on South Carolina, obviously not a great performance. Rivalry matchup, you got an ugly win. And then 38 on Kentucky in the bowl game. I say this because a lot of people have gotten in with the logic, which is, how could you possibly believe that Clemson is going to score 30-plus on Georgia Tech this weekend with what you've seen so far? My response would be, go look at 2023, where Clemson was significantly less talented up front with a worse O-line coach, where Clemson was significantly less talented at wide receiver without these frisbee-catching dogs that we've come to love, and Brian Wesco Jr. and T.J. Moore. Where Clemson was arguably less talented in totality at running back because Will Shipley was hurt and you really just had Maffa and nobody else. You got at least got a couple warm bodies this year with a couple different options. So that would be my response to the people who are getting in on the Adams Co. Roofing text line with the logic. What have you seen so far from this team that inspires confidence headed into this upcoming weekend against Georgia Tech? My answer would be the second half against Troy and nothing else. But you know what? This sport does not work on a one-week-to-one-week basis. And what I mean by that is, you don't translate. You don't get to carry the one. You don't get to carry the production into next week. Does camaraderie and does rhythm and does motivation and do confidence, do all of these things matter? Yes. But there was no logical reason to believe in 2023 that Clemson would put up 31 points on one of the best defenses in the country and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And then turn around and force four picks against Haynes King and put up 42 on GT the following week. Then take down another ranked opponent in UNC and Drake May, who went top five in the draft. He's a lot better than Haynes King.
Yeah, but he stinks.
He does stink now in the NFL. But in all seriousness, John, like, I think that we have lost the plot a little bit with Clemson because of six bad quarters. And I know that this is going to come across where a lot of people are getting in saying, orange colored glasses, say whatever you want on the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Say whatever you want. Stay on that side when Cade Klubnik puts up 30-plus this weekend. That's all I'm going to say. Stay on that side because I see everything. I see everything. Let's get Scott in here from Greenville. 654 Roar is the number. Scott, good to hear from you.
Faxon, are you saying six bad quarters strictly from the offense? Is that what you're talking about?
Strictly from the offense. I think the defense has played eight pretty darn good quarters, maybe seven.
Yeah, and you know, looking back, and I typically don't call in the day after a loss or what I considered last week a loss, still, even as much as we struggled. But they, the defense, to me, we planned for the run against Troy, and they came out throwing the ball and they burned us first drive. The second touchdown was a fluke interception play. So overall, I felt really good with our defense. I thought we were swarming to the ball on the run when they, you know, we'd hit them one or two behind the line of scrimmage. Next thing you know, we had seven or eight on them. I think Hanifin's playing his butt off. If we play like we did in the second half Saturday against Georgia Tech, we're wearing them guys out. They're not going to see a, I mean, they're not going to see a defense like ours all year long until they play Georgia at the end of the year.
You're absolutely correct, Scott, and I think that's what a lot of people in the fan base are forgetting because of some of the offensive woes, that the defense has been borderline elite through two games.
Yeah, the defense is playing lights out. So I think whatever it was discussed, worked on, I'm not going to say fixed, but I think we repaired, put a Band-Aid on it or whatever we did at halftime on Saturday, and we looked like a different team. And I think that that positive momentum will carry over into this week. If it does not, if we come out flat in the first quarter, we're losing that ball game. If we come out and can get a good drive or two in and you'll get down the field, get some points, 7, 10 points, whatever, out of it, I think we're going to be okay. We've started slow the past few years anyway, so I'm not real concerned. A lot of people up in arms because we dropped the 12th in the poll. I could care less what that poll says right now. I want to see what my team is on the field, and my team on the field has struggled the first six quarters of the year. We're 1-1. We're, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you just said, hey, you beat Troy and you lost to LSU, how do you feel about it? Well, we're still okay. We're still in the playoff hunt. Now everybody's doom and gloom, you know. We did what we did that to get the W's. We got them, and now we're facing Georgia Tech, and I think we're going to be just fine. I don't think Georgia Tech's that good.
Yeah.
Faxon, I hope you didn't curse us pissing off Haynes King at ACC Media Days either.
Listen, if we want to pin the loss on me, if Clemson loses this weekend, have at it, because I'm not really worried about the Georgia Tech offense against the Clemson defense personally. Something you hit on as well, I just don't think Georgia Tech's offense is ready for this level of physicality and toughness at the line of scrimmage. I understand they've got Keelan Rutledge. I think he's one of the best right guards in football. They're also starting a JUCO transfer at right tackle in Malachi Carney. They're starting a true sophomore at left guard and center, and they're starting a redshirt sophomore at left tackle in Ethan McKinney. Like, Brent Key does a really good job having his unit ready, especially on the offensive line. Clemson's got better Jimmies and Joes at every position group on the field than Georgia Tech. Every single one of them. And if they don't win the game, then we need to be asking much bigger questions about this football team and this program going forward, because there is an undeniable talent advantage for Clemson in this game at just about every single position group on the field, including but not limited to the lines of scrimmage.
Yeah, I thought Cade bounced back this past week. I thought he was seeing the receivers he needed to. I think our receivers got to get rid of their alligator arms and catch the passes thrown to them, i.e. T.J. Moore. He's got to get out of his little whatever's going on in his head. But
yes,
I think we're going to be just fine. I think we may have righted the ship a little bit against Troy, as crazy as that may sound. And I think we're going to be just fine, because if we get past Saturday, we're looking at a 5-1 team, you know, coming in playing against SMU, I believe it is. Now, those four games later in the season are going to be a brutal stretch.
Yeah, and you know, I think Clemson's schedule this year, Scott, is harder than it's been in years past, right? I mean, this little stretch of SMU, Duke, FSU, at Louisville, Furman, at South Carolina, that's a really tough six-game stretch at the back half of your season. So you need to take care of business against Georgia Tech this weekend. You need to perform well before the bye, because I think that's big for this program as a whole right now against Syracuse. And then you need to go on the road after the bye and take care of UNC and take care of BC. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I don't think those two are going to be the problem. I think, you know, those four games you mentioned of the last six, three of those are at home. The only road game would be at Louisville, and I like that. None of those teams, I mean, Florida State, we'll still see what they got. That's still up in the air, but anybody can beat East Texas A&M 77-3. So, but anyway, I think we're going to be fine. I'm looking forward to it, and go Tigers.
Yeah, appreciate you getting in with us, Scott. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. A couple texters to get to on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. And I will say this. So Jason in Columbia says, Scott saying he doesn't understand why everybody's freaking out at being 1-1 with the playoff shot is highly disingenuous. Nobody in the fan base saw the horrible start to this offense. I do agree with Jason on the text line to a certain extent there. But at the same time, I think we have taken the offensive struggles and we have ran with it to a point where we have completely ignored that Clemson has taken massive strides in the right direction on one side of the football. And I get that it hasn't all been sunshine and rainbows, and it hasn't all been perfect, and they've missed some tackles still. But if you would have told me coming into the season that Clemson would give up, what, 10 points to Troy on defense and 17 points to LSU on defense, I think everybody in our fan base would have been, man, 27 points through two games against those two guys, even in garbage time against Troy, sign me up, because that's what I would have said, John.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is also part of the case where we get so hyper-focused on our team that we don't look up to see other offenses having a bad Saturday last week.
Yes.
You know, Penn State only up 10-0 at halftime to Florida International. LSU beating Louisiana Tech 23-7. Georgia putting up a whopping 28 on Austin Peay.
South Carolina trailed SC State after one quarter, 3-0. They didn't have an offensive touchdown in the first half.
No, they did not. Without the two punt returns, it would have been the 3-3 halftime score. Florida, we still haven't even gotten to the Gators yet.
You haven't even gotten to the Gators.
With the quarterback that everybody tells me is so much better than Cade Klubnik. We haven't even gotten to them yet. You know, go look across the country. Like, some offenses are struggling to get going. It's not just Clemson.
Agreed. And this is a point I would make, for Clemson headed into this game this Saturday. Clemson hasn't gotten enough first downs to get into a rhythm offensively early in games.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Absolutely.
And that's the biggest area of growth for this team that I'm hoping and anticipating to see on Saturday, John. Like, if you look in the second half and you look at, obviously, Clemson was the benefit factor of some short fields and some turnovers. We're not ignoring that completely. But the first drive out of the halftime locker room where you went 75 yards to pay dirt, how did that start? A positive run gain on first down, feeding Adam Randall. The key to the game is right in front of you, in my opinion. You have to get the run game established early because it makes everyone's life on offense significantly easier. And I think Clemson should lean on that gap blocking scheme that they used in the second half against Troy, at least for a little bit, to give GT a different look.
Yeah, I think they will. But, you know, we saw some of the questions coming in last night during Tiger Hour. I'm sure we're going to get some questions here at the top of the hour when we carry Coach Sweeney's press conference. Why isn't Gideon Davidson getting the ball more? Why isn't Tristan Smith getting the ball more? Why isn't TJ Moore getting the ball more? Why isn't Ezio Mume getting the ball more, right? It's because you're not setting yourself up. Like, you're having 60 plays total in two games.
They're not running bingo.
You're not running the ball enough to set. You're not having long enough drives.
Yes.
Like, even if they're not turning into points, you're still not manufacturing drives to get these guys more opportunities. You want to know what gets Tristan Smith more opportunities than one pass in the game? Is if you run closer to 80 plays on offense than 60. You know what helps bring Gideon Davidson into the run game? If you run 80 plays on offense instead of 60.
Yep. Clemson ran 72 plays per game last year, and they're struggling to sniff 60 right now. There's your Gideon Davidson touches. There's your TJ Moore touches.
Some of the TJ Moore touches need to be because TJ Moore, you know, is carrying himself better during the course of a game.
Agreed.
But for everybody, you asked the question yesterday. How is there only one pass thrown to tight ends in the game against Troy? Because you're going three and out.
You're going three and out.
Like, you're not manufacturing drives to spread it out to other people. So you're pressing to try to get drives going. It's all a snowball effect.
You need to run the ball more effectively earlier in games if you want to see this offense unlocked at the level that we anticipated in the preseason. It's that simple. Because guess what? When you run the ball, you start running the clock. What's another thing that's majorly important in this one? Your defense stays off the field. You want to talk about something that's important and what Georgia Tech puts a massive emphasis on as a kind of a key cognate to part of how they win football games? Time of possession. That's a massive, massive stat in this game. Georgia Tech likes to sit on the ball. They want to come up. They'll rush you up a little bit sometimes, and they'll hurry you up with some run stuff. But more times than not, they're snapping with 10 to 15 on the play clock. They want to keep their defense off the field because it's the weaker unit that they can't trust as much, and they want the ball. They want to get you into third and two. That's where Georgia Tech eats, third and two. Haynes King up the middle like a battering ram for 2 yards. Move the chains. We're going to take 40 more seconds off the clock. That's their plan headed into this one. Shorten the game. Condense the game. You want to go look at what Georgia Tech's game plan could look like and maybe a little bit different offensively because of the King Philo stuff last year because he was hurt. Go watch the Miami game last year against Georgia Tech. Look at the masterclass Brent Key put on there in time of possession and keeping the ball away from Cam Ward. That is what they're going to try and do this weekend. They are going to try and keep the ball away from Cade Klubnik and sit on the ball. If Clemson can win that time of possession war, Clemson's not just going to win. Clemson's going to win big this weekend in Atlanta if they win time of possession. But, John, that's ultimately reliant on running the football effectively early in the game. Quick break here on the program. About 40 more minutes before we hear from Sweeney here on Facts on Sports.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Right now at Blue Ridge Heating and Air, get $400 off your system installation and a free bottle of our signature hot sauce. Pick fire on the mountain or furnace fuel. Just schedule your free estimate with Pete, our field supervisor. He'll help you select the right Armstrong air system, quality comfort you can trust, and make sure you lock in federal tax credits before they expire December 31st. Call Blue Ridge today, ask for Pete, and get your home ready for comfort, savings, and a little spice. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
At Ingles, we know that fresh means local. The best ingredients don't come from a world away. They come from your own backyard, which is why we rise to the challenge of providing the freshest items you'll find anywhere. Getting our foods from the farms we support, to the stores we love, to the tables you treasure. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Mourning the loss of a loved one can be painful. If your loved one dies due to the negligence of someone else, you need someone by your side to help get you justice. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you navigate a wrongful death lawsuit. Nick and his staff are here to help you through every step of the legal process. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting dell.com/deals. That's dell.com/deals.
Folks, I think we can all agree that being overweight is a challenge. So many issues related to weight gain would just resolve themselves if only we could get that weight under control. And listen to me, the answer is not Ozempic. The answer is not more GLP-1 from a pill or a shot. The answer is a real natural solution from PhD Weight Loss. PhD patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking a drug. And sure, if you want to pay up to $20,000 a year to spend on losing precious muscle, be my guest. That's what happens when you go the Ozempic route. And don't even get me started on the endless list of side effects. Here's the deal. PhD Weight Loss helps you wake up your metabolism so your body produces its own weight loss hormones. So if you're already on Ozempic and want to transition off, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team will help you do it safely while continuing to shed those pounds. Call today, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite continues on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. We've only got about 30 minutes left in the program here today. Abbreviated program because of Coach Sweeney, head ball coach for the Tigers. Obviously, he's going to get the microphone for his weekly press conference in the final hour of the program. Also got our intern in here shadowing the show, Nick Costello. He's doing a great job learning the board, so shout out to Nick for all the work he's putting in behind the scenes. Texter gets in and says a couple different things, and appreciate you getting in with this 983. Troy averaged 3.7 yards per play after drive number one. Gave up a field goal, but it was sparked by the fumble return, and the offense had several turnovers, and you still won the battle. And then Texter follows that up with saying, success on first down brings tempo, and tempo makes Cade better for whatever reason. I wholeheartedly agree with every part of that message. I think the biggest issue right now with the Clemson offense is lack of success on first down to get Cade comfortable. And there's a lot of fixation being placed on Garrett Riley for that, of Cade not being comfortable early in games. I think he deserves partial blame, but I also just think Clemson's players need to play better and with an increased sense of urgency earlier in the game. Like, as simple as that sounds, that is the ultimate key to unlocking this offense for this football team. It's success on first down and success in the run game early in games. And if you can do that consistently and get 4, 5, 6 yards a pop with Adam Randall on first down and then run back to the ball and get Cade a quick hitter and keep those chains moving when we saw Clemson's offense at its best last year, that's when you'll start to see the offensive upside showcase and peak through. But right now, simply put, Clemson hasn't been good enough on first down, and Clemson hasn't been good enough running the ball on first down to have offensive success, and that has nothing to do with Cade Klubnik. So run the ball more, run the ball early and often on Georgia Tech, and get positive gains in the run game on first down, and you will see this offense start to explode as we anticipated throughout the course of the offseason. I think it's the number one key for this offense going forward, John.
Absolutely. Run the football. It's amazing how many things open up because of that. You'll see defenses change, and you know, I think it's a great point about new DC there in Atlanta. You can really press them.
Yeah.
You can really press them.
All right. Let's hop into some discourse on the week one games, if you're good with that, or week two games, rather, if you're good with that. 6-5-4
Yes, please. I've had enough.
I've had enough GT. Illinois Duke, hand up on this one. Goodness gracious. 45-19. The Fighting Illini take down the Blue Devils. This was 14-13 at half, and then 31-6 in the second half towards the Fighting Illini. Number 11 team in the land gets a big-time road win over a Power 4 opponent. If you look at the box score in this one, Illinois's got 25 first downs. Duke's got 21. Third down, fourth down efficiency is similar. Duke outgained Illinois. Duke outpassed Illinois. And then you go all the way down to one category, and you go, oh, 5 turnovers for Duke. 4 of which came in the second half, 4 fumbles and 1 interception for Mensah. You can't win football games like that, John. You just can't do it. Fighting Illini get a big one in Durham.
It's all about the turnovers. It was all about the turnovers in this one. I think these two teams are more equal than the scoreboard indicates, but you can't put the ball on the turf as many times as Duke did and expect to win a ball game.
Yes. It's as simple as that, especially with, I think one of those was a big, I was on Tiger tailgate during this one, but I saw they had a big punt that they muffed early in the game that gave Illinois the lead, and like, there was just a bunch of stuff going on in Durham, so again,
if a lot of self-inflicted wounds by the Blue Devils.
If you turn the ball over five times, you can't win. It's just as simple as that, so unless you're SMU at Duke last year, and you can turn it over six and somehow find a way to get out of Dodge with that one. I guess Duke just has bad luck in lopsided turnover margins. But one of the biggest stories of the week was Shapen and the Bulldogs and Stark Vegas taking down Kenny Dillingham and Arizona State. The number 12 team in the land goes down, as does the number 13 Florida Gators, which we'll get to in a second. Is this more to you, John, about Mississippi State maybe being a little bit better than people anticipate, or more about Arizona State maybe getting a little bit too much Kool-Aid throughout the course of the offseason?
I think more so about the Kool-Aid for Arizona State. But for me, I don't really want to take any of my preseason expectations into this game or really any projections moving forward out of this game. I'm just happy for Mississippi State fans. Like, that's my big takeaway from this game.
Yeah.
It's good for y'all. That has been a downtrodden bunch that hasn't had a whole lot to cheer for. We talked about it yesterday. This is their first ranked win at home against a non-conference Power 5 team since 1991.
Sheesh.
Like, celebrate it. And the way that it ended, the 58-yard bomb to Brennan Thompson to seal things for him. Like, I think it's going to be a great test to Kenny Dillingham. How do they recover from a loss like this? Because they've been on a heater since the middle part of last year. I thought Sam Levitt wasn't good in this game at all. And I think this team is very much missing Cam Scadaboo. Now, I know, yeah, you had the 200-yard rush. Those guys were good. But, like, that guy just, like, we talked about for an hour plus about Haynes King is the greatest leader that God himself has ever put on this earth. He's only second to Cam Scadaboo. Like, I just, like, that guy was everything for this team. And I still think, like, in the first half, they were struggling to figure out what to do without him, and they didn't commit to the run very well. Oh, wow, funny how you commit to the run, and Arizona State got right back in this thing.
Committing to the run works.
I don't know what this game says about these two teams moving forward, but it was a great game Saturday night, and I very much enjoyed it.
Arizona State, you live by the – I think you said yesterday, you live by the blitz, you die by the blitz.
Absolutely. You go cover zero in the game on the line. I understand the risk-reward. That's a little too rich for my liking.
Yeah. Walk-in touchdown for Mississippi State to get out of Dodge in that one. All right, the game that I know you've been licking your chops to talk about. Let's talk about it. Hand up on this one. I took South Florida with the spread, but I had my read on the game completely wrong. I said I thought South Florida could hang around in the first half and could hang around a little bit in this game, but I thought Florida would just have too much talent and physicality to overwhelm them. They did not get overwhelmed in this game. South Florida, let's not call this a fluke. They outgained Florida. They were more physical than Florida. Their quarterback was better than Florida's. And Alex Golesh and his Bulls earned this win in Gainesville. 18-16 as time expires with a chip shot field goal over the number 13 Gators, who put up 16 total points of offense in this one. Unbelievable.
Coaching. Bad timeout usage. Bad situational usage. I mean, Billy Napier's fourth down decision-making. This was all on coaching. I don't think this was a team that just believed they could roll the ball out and win. South Florida walked into their building, punched them in the face, and they didn't have an answer. You know, I think you can look at a box score and say DJ Lagway was fine. No, he wasn't. Not for what the billing is, right?
The billing and the expectations of this team were very lofty, and this has been well known throughout media that this is Billy's last hurrah if it goes poorly, and you're looking up at 1-1 with that schedule?
Well, one with the schedule, but they don't have situational awareness. This is a team that in 4 years under him hasn't really improved. How are you when the game is on the line and South Florida is driving? Does one of your best defensive linemen make it about himself to hock a loogie at a player standing in front of an official like we didn't just see Jalen Carter get ejected for this?
Just so stupid.
Was it, 30 yards in penalties Florida gave them in the final drive?
Yep, they gave the game away. They absolutely gave the game away.
Horrible coaching. Horrible decision-making. That's what you get.
Yeah.
What you get. Alex Golesh, came in here with the right mentality, with the right approach, and punched them in the mouth. Thoroughly impressed by Alex Golish and what this team is. And now you're going into to the Miami game playing with house money. Like, I don't think you were going to be able to pick up either of the two wins that you were going to have. And I thought we, you know, I remember we talked about South Florida leading into to week one. Like, yes, they had the ability to maybe be the G5 representative for the playoff, but we thought they were going to start 0-3.
Right.
They're 2-0.
This is one of the biggest success stories in college football to date. And I got to be honest, I heard Josh Pate kind of ripping the AP poll saying it's not merit-based because if we're going off of merit, South Florida has a case to be number one. He's right. I know that that sounds obscene.
Oh, no, no, no.
But they have two ranked wins. Nobody else in the country can say that.
It's not obscene. If the ranking was just about what have you done in the first 2 weeks of the season, then South Florida should be your number one team in the country.
If you slapped, heck, we can throw Clemson in here. If you slapped Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, anybody that's a brand on South Florida's resume, you would be waking up today and they would be the number one team in the country, without doubt, with wins over Boise State and Florida. Especially with the matchup against Miami on the horizon and the way that that can be branded nationally. But instead, since it's mid-major against ACC, one of the best games in the country this upcoming weekend is on the CW. And South Florida is, what, 18th in the country? That's ridiculous. They have the best resume in the country, and they're 18th. I don't know how this season's going to age for Golesh down in Tampa. I love the project. I think they've got the resources. The campus is super pretty. The jerseys are cool. Byron Brown's awesome. I love all of it. Give them some respect, man. Come on, AP poll.
Like, to me, as long as they don't lose this game 63-3, I'm just going to rattle off the schedule very, very quickly because we're not going to, you know, do a win game for South Florida here.
Yeah, I'm interested.
SC State and Charlotte both at home, at North Texas, FAU at home, at Memphis, UTSA at home, at Navy, at UAB, host Rice.
Memphis, Navy, and UTSA are the only three teams on their schedule that have a chance to beat them. The rest are guaranteed wins.
I mean, North Texas, if you don't, I mean, you stop, you got to play a little bit of defense.
Yeah.
You know, stop them on one possession, you can win that ball game because North Texas doesn't have a defense. But, like, it's very, like, they can lose this game and still be in the playoff.
Agreed. And I also think that, like, as we're adjusting our group of five radar for the playoff, does a signature win over a P4 like that not buy you a loss? And what I mean by that is I don't think they should be too harshly penalized by losing to Miami. Well,
if anything, we gave Boise State street cred last year for losing to Oregon by a touchdown.
Exactly. So if that's a quote-unquote quality loss that's being used to enhance their resume, I would love to see South Florida as a potential G5 playoff contender, provided they can take care of business, win the remainder of their games that they're anticipated to win. But, you know, what Golesh has done cannot be overlooked. And on the flip side of things, John, before we take our final break of the show, oh my gosh, Florida plays at LSU, at Miami, back-to-back, and then they're back home against Texas. That's the next three in Gainesville. At LSU, you're going on the road to Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, play the number three Tigers. Then you're in Coral Gables, or I guess Miami Gardens in Hard Rock, 45 minutes away from campus, to play Mario Cristobal and a top-five Miami team. And then, oh, welcome back home. Here's Arch Manning in Texas who are playing motivated football. And then they're at A&M. I saw something on Twitter this weekend, and I will close the segment with this before we shift gears. It was a Florida State fan saying, is 2-10 really that far out of the realm of possibility in Gainesville this year? And I went, what? That's ridiculous. And then I looked at the schedule, John, and I'm not sure that's that unrealistic. I don't think they're going 2-10. I think they find a way to get to 4 or 5 wins, and I think the roster is still pretty talented. But if these losses get snowballing, John...
No, the funniest possible outcome is if they're sitting there at 2-9 going into the Florida State week, and then they beat Florida State so they don't finish 2-10.
Please sign me up for 2-9 Florida, hosting Florida State in the final game of the season. Legacies
Florida
will be on the
State's
line.
Record is irrelevant in terms of the comedy for that one.
Yes, absolutely.
Interim
irrelevant.
Coach leads them to a win to finish at 3-9.
It would be even better if Florida State were, like, contending for a playoff spot and Florida ripped the
rug
out.
Oh, the better Florida State is, the funnier it is.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, 654 Roar is the number. We're going to take our final break on the program before we pass the baton over to the head ball coach for Clemson and Dabo Swinney. If you'd like to beat the buzzer, we'd love to hear from you in the upcoming segment.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Fax and Childress and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Donnell Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security do not call. As Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Discover Reed's Jewelers, America's largest family-owned jeweler, and their state-of-the-art expanded store in Haywood Mall. The same location, with nearly twice the showroom space as before. Dedicated to bringing you amazing savings on diamonds, watches, and more. All with the same superior customer service they've always provided. You'll be amazed at the 21st century appeal of the new Reed's Jewelers expanded store. Reed's Jewelers, next to Belk on the top floor in Haywood Mall. Online at Reeds.com.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education, and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, October 3rd and 4th. It's the ultimate Bee Gees tribute, bringing the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. From Jive Talking to Staying Alive, this high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo, we have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
Jimmy John's just changed the game. Introducing the Chicken Bacon Ranch, now toasted. Picture this. Juicy chicken, crispy bacon, and melty cheese, all drizzled in our rich homestyle ranch, sandwiched between perfectly toasted fresh baked bread. Crunchy, creamy, absolutely irresistible. One bite and you'll taste the difference. Warm, melty perfection that takes flavor to the next level. The Chicken Bacon Ranch, now hot, toasty, and calling your name. Get yours today, only at Jimmy John's.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Segment of an abbreviated program here on a Tuesday. We remind you, Facts and Childress and John Height here with Facts on Sports on The Roar. Head ball coach for the Tigers, Dabo Swinney, is going to be taking the mic in the upcoming hour for his weekly press conference over at the Smart Family Media Complex. Excited to hear from the head ball coach and talk some ball. But in the meantime, John, we've got some NFL to discuss from week one, specifically Monday Night Football. Metrics check here in the final segment. And let's just hop right into this. 654 Roar is the number. I'm so sorry, Chad the Mailman. Minnesota 27, Chicago 24. Hand up. I fell for it and picked the Bears to win this football game. And you know what? I picked the Bears to win this football game, and here's the bigger problem. I actually thought they were going to win it headed into the fourth quarter because, logically speaking, when you're like minus 1,100 on the live money line and have the ball up 11 in plus territory and, you know, have been the generally better team the entire game, and through three quarters, Minnesota has under 100 yards of offense. Logic would tell me the Bears were in a pretty good position to win the game last night, John, through three quarters of play.
Logic would tell you that. However, you're trying to apply logic with the Chicago Bears.
I am, and that gets me into trouble, doesn't it? Yep.
It does, yep. Everybody.
21-7 in the fourth quarter, Minnesota over Chicago. J.J. McCarthy looked putrid for three quarters and looked like a world beater in the fourth quarter. Credit where it's due. He had two really clutch drives in the fourth quarter. He made a really nice throw to Justin Jefferson over the middle, and then he delivered kind of the knockout blow, running a touchdown in on a read option. I don't like McCarthy the prospect. I don't like McCarthy the person. I don't like McCarthy the player, but I got to give respect. The team rallied around him last night. It was awesome to see how, you know, they responded to him being a captain in the post-game locker room, and I was happy for J.J. McCarthy. I was not happy for Caleb Williams and the Bears because they looked putrid down the stretch.
You may not have been happy. One thing that really told me about this game, you may not like J.J. McCarthy. The players on the Minnesota Vikings like J.J. McCarthy. They are all about that dude.
It felt like they were rallying around him, man. And McCarthy's final line reads 13 for 20, 143 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Also added that rushing touchdown, which was the knockout blow. Here's the thing. Think about all of the commentary that I just gave you on Clemson's struggles on offense, on first down specifically. You can apply that to the first three quarters of Minnesota Viking football yesterday. I think they had six first downs in their first 10 drives. They couldn't get anything going in the run game. They couldn't get anything going on first down, but they stuck with it. And as the game continued to progress, Caleb and the offense for the Bears couldn't stay on the field. They kept going three and out. Caleb was missing open receivers. He was having some difficulty scrambling outside the pocket and, you know, finding guys down the field. And then when the Bears defense just had to keep coming out there and churning on defense, their D-line started to give a little bit of push, and that's where Minnesota took over this football game because Jordan Mason was starting to get 6-7 yards a pop. Then they started going play action with McCarthy, and we all know that he's money in the bank in play action because it's all he ran at Michigan, and the rest is history. Pretty bad choke for the Bears. I thought their scripted drive was great, and everything else was pretty rough from Caleb, to be candid. He's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go.
This guy, he has a long way to go. You just hate to see it, man. You hate to see it. Also, just a little, maybe just a friendly bit of advice for DeAndre Swift. Would you say that he has good field vision?
No, I think it's atrocious.
So then why are you wearing sunglasses at night, my friend? Why are we wearing the tinted visor at night when you already can't see very good? Listen, I'm he looked cool. And like, you know, the swag was great. But my goodness, man. What are you doing wearing the tinted visor for at night when you already can't see?
Yeah. I wouldn't wish Miles Sanders or DeAndre Swift as my running back on my worst enemy on planet Earth. I'd do it 3-4 years in a row for the Eagles. I don't know if there's two more blind as a bat backs in this league than Sanders and Swift. I think Swift is a little bit better than Sanders because he gives you a little in the passing game. But again, 3.1 yards per carry. Some of that's the O-line. Some of that is Swift is not hitting the holes and he's trying to jump cut outside and take every play to the house.
Who would you rather have, DeAndre Swift or Tank Bigsby?
Oh, two bad options, to be candid. That's a natural transition.
Because now you have one of them.
Yeah, Tank Bigsby got traded to the Eagles. I think Howie's bored. I think that's really where we're at on this. I don't think Tank Bigsby is particularly good. I'm always an advocate of maybe giving a guy a look, right? And Shipley is a little bit banged up right now. And you don't really love what A.J. Dillon has provided, so you bring in another back to spice things up. Maybe he's a short distance back, a goal line back. Tank Bigsby's not a very good football player. It's just really point-blank period, as simple as that for me. However, I'm not convinced that me and you couldn't run behind the Eagles' offensive line, so that has to be considered as an element of this, is the Eagles' O-line gives guys like Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift an opportunity to get paid. Maybe they can do the same for Tank Bigsby if he gets some run, but I think that that's going to be something that has very little impact on this league, short or long term.
So things continue to surprise me in the city of Pittsburgh. Not the baseball team. They're still bad. I don't want anyone to act like something good has happened there. Little bit of notes. Aaron Rodgers, at 41 years old and 279 days, became the third oldest player in NFL history with 4+ touchdown game. I don't care if they were screen passes. It was awesome. Let's go ahead and fit him for the gold jacket. And the Steelers this morning, to continue to improve on their secondary, signed free agent safety Jabril Peppers, with Deshaun Elliott dealing with some injuries. So there's a more added talent into the back end for the Steelers defense.
Yeah, I watched the tape back yesterday of Steelers Jets, and I think I'm just more confused than I was watching the game in real time. Like, I don't really know what's happening in that game, but those are two teams that were supposed to have big-time defensive identities that were going to struggle on offense, and they just got into a shootout, and it was fun to watch. I thought Rodgers looked good. I feel like Arthur Smith and Rodgers, I said this before the year, I think it's a match made in heaven because I think they're looking to do the same thing. Establish the run, get me off of play action, get me some quick hitters. We know Rodgers loves to protect that completion percentage. He's going to have a chance to do that this year in Pittsburgh. And there's a reason I bought a little bit of stock in this team on the tail end of the offseason, John. I think they're good enough to win 10, 11 games this year in Pittsburgh. And we know that defense is going to play better than they did against the Jets as the year goes on.
No, absolutely. I think there's too much talent for it not to improve, but it's got to improve with all the with some of these offenses you've got right around, you know, coming down the pike here for the Steelers schedule.
For sure. Texter gets in and says, who is Jags' backup running back now with the trade? One of my favorite players in the league, my guy Bishel Tooten from Virginia Tech. He's actually really good. Him and ETN's going to be a nice little 1-2 punch, and that's one of the biggest things of this past week that we have to bring up, John. Are we back in Jacksonville? Is Travis Etienne starting to turn things around? Maybe not with the team.
He's turning things around. He looked good.
He looked really good.
But once again, I think this is just more of an example of you being very off with your take with the Carolina Panthers.
We got a long season. We got 16 games to play. We're good. Tape checked out for Bryce. They got to get, I think it's imperative to get Jalen Coker back. I've said that repeatedly. They got to get healthy, a little bit healthier on defense too. But listen, again, with Carolina, if they can't stop the run, it's going to be a long year. I think the secondary is in a good place. We got Nick here who's a Panthers fan, so feel free to like wave your hand if you feel like I'm off base here. But I'm trusting Bryce to finish out the season. I think they're going to take steps in the right direction. I think you will get on the same page offensively. You have to stop the run. You can't not stop the run in the NFL and win games.
So one question that I do have in the NFL, and we've got a caller on hold here, and I know Ted wants to probably talk about his Noles, but I want to bring Ted in here right now. Seminole Ted on the phone lines. What is going on with the Miami Dolphins, Ted?
Oh, Lord.
So I'm changing my prediction. They are going to be the number one pick in the draft. They are atrocious. Oh, my God. They made Daniel Jones look like freaking Tom Brady. I mean, it was ridiculous. They could not stop them for anything. I was at our fan bar in Greenville watching the game, and I left at halftime in disgust. I mean, just absolute disgust. They're toast. They need to fire the whole everybody. I like Mike McCarthy, but I honestly think that you definitely got to get rid of Chris Greer because he's had too many hands in the last few cookie jars, and you can see what he's doing is not making any sense.
Yeah,
you know, let's get rid of Tua and go for somebody else because I think Tua looks shell shocked. You know, it's one of two things with him: either he's playing on the edge of his pants, you know, trying to tackle people and everybody else, or he's dropping fumbling, throwing picks. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. This is going to be an awful season for the Dolphins, and I hate it because I'm lifelong, man, ever since Marino came into the league. But
Ted,
through thick and thin, I'll watch him always.
Would you consider right now – oh, sorry, Ted, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I would say, would you consider right now – because I do agree. I think you were in the contention with like the New Orleans Saints and some of these teams here for picking at the top of next year's draft. Would you entertain moving, especially like an aging Tyreek Hill or some of these older veterans to try to load up on some draft picks?
Move Hill, move Waddle, move anybody you can to get draft picks.
Yeah.
Or good players. Either one. I don't care. Move one or the other. Move them for one or the other. At this point, sell it all. They went on the cheap anyway because they were 20 under the cap during free agency and did nothing to shore up the line that's supposed to protect their quarterback. I can't even watch, man. It's disgusting. I'm gonna watch because I'm a fan and that's what we do. But I think we're gonna go 1-6 the first seven games.
Yeah, it's a rough time to be a Dolphin, Ted. And again, like. I think that, and I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound, I promise. You know, I tell you how it is. I told you last year when I thought your team was going to suck with FSU. I told you this year I thought they're going to be pretty darn good. I think that this is a multi-year rebuild that you're going to have to kick off because here's my thing. It's not even just about this year. Tua's dead cap hit is $138 million this year, and he's got a $40 million cap hit for each of the next three seasons. I don't think anybody's signing up to take that off the books from y'all. That's my biggest concern here, is I think you have another version of a Dak Prescott contract, but I don't think Tua is anywhere near as good as Dak is.
You're right, 100% right. I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be. Yeah, I wouldn't have – that they were in a bad situation with him when they signed that contract. They were damned if they do and damned if they didn't.
Yep, exactly.
So,
because you had to pay him. You had no other option.
It is what it is.
Yep.
But, hey – let's get the number one quarterback this year and start over. That's all I got. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you, Ted. 654 Roar is the number. Maybe we can get Tommy Castellanos in the later rounds to the Dolphins and just come full circle for Seminole Ted. How about that? Let's go get me Tommy touchdowns in the sixth in Miami. It's the QB of the future, right?
Because that's what you need at the NFL level behind an offensive line that can't block as a 5'9 quarterback who's just running around like a crazy person. Yeah.
I love watching him play, I will say. I'm not sure how actually good at football he is, but man, is he a treat to watch.
He's entertainment. There's no doubt about it.
He is absolute cinema. Okay, a couple more of these games to get to on the NFL ranks before we shift gears, John. Did you have any major takeaways from Ravens-Bills other than that instant classic and both teams are really freaking good at football?
Derrick Henry, still very good at football.
Still very good at football,
still
man.
Very good. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen should still be the front runners for the MVP.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, seriously, what a performance.
DeAndre Hopkins, still got it.
Still got it.
I mean, he only caught two. He's still got it, man. Zay Flowers continues to be a problem for this Ravens team. On the other side, I thought Keon Coleman was, looks like he has taken a step in the right direction for the second year of his career. But both these defenses need to kind of fine-tune some things, if you will. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is your AFC championship game.
Can I have a Sankey moment real quick? Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, Keon Coleman, ACC. ACC. ACC is just dominating the league, John. What can we say? That's my Sankey moment of the day on the ACC's behalf. But in all seriousness, Lamar and Josh Allen, if you want to put them in the Mahomes category, those three are the best on planet Earth. Burrow's up there, too. We're very blessed right now in the NFL with the upper echelon QB talent. The issue is the middle of the pack and the bottom of the league are nowhere near as good as they used to be. That's kind of where I'm at on QBs.
I mean, that's an appropriate take for someone who pulls for the second-best quarterback in the state of Pennsylvania.
Third? Second-best on his roster?
Yeah, well, yeah. However you want to break down your own roster, they're all behind Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's go.
Gold jacket, man. Get your gold jacket.
Absolutely.
Appreciate everybody that got in on the program, John. Tuesdays are always a treat. Blood pressure was a little high in the first hour, but
I'm do you think we come back on air with after Coach Sweeney, or do you think he takes this thing a whole hour? Because I think we'll be back on for a little bit of a recap.
I think we might be on for a recap. Dabo Sweeney, head coach of Clemson football, coming up on the other side of a quick break right here on The Roar. Stick with us.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We